message is when calm is lost. And I don't know if you remember last week when we were talking about that water representing the journey of life. And that no matter the storms that surround us, that calmness can remain in our soul and in this journey called life. But sometimes we relinquish calm, and calm is lost. As we journey just in a little bit of review this morning, there is a war of worry that rages against us. A war of anxiety that seeks for us to surrender the calm that Christ has died so that we can have. We looked at the story, and I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 2. We looked at this story of three kings: King Ahaz of Judah, King Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel. Now, this was a time in Israel's history the Hebrews had broken into two different nations, a southern kingdom and a northern kingdom. So in that land, that promised land, that nation favored by God, there was division that came, and consequences were tremendous through that time of separation. But we see this: Asa was the king of the southern kingdom, which maintained the capital of Jerusalem. And it was God's intention for Israel to remain in unity, but God was going to preserve the promise that would come through the nation of Israel. And we represent today part of that promise, or I want to say the fullness of that promise, is that we have the Messiah Jesus living and dwelling in us. And in this struggle, the attempt was this, was to block the promise from ever reaching the heart of man. The heart of Asa and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. That image of that sea that was raging was the condition of their soul and their heart. Here, two tremendous powers were teaming up against them. And you remember the goal was to bring fear to them, to conquer them, and to set up a puppet king by the name of Tabil. A king that would rule by the will of these other two kings, and that would lead this nation further and further away from God. But see, when we feel all is lost, God sends forth messengers of hope to reach us. And we have this ability today, if we seek God, the Holy Spirit comes as the messenger through the Word of God to settle the storms that war against us and rage against us. And here, God sends a prophet. The prophet Isaiah in verse 4 comes to Ahaz and he gives him this vital word from God. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Speaking of the two kings that felt they had all the power they needed to destroy Asa in the kingdom of Judah. God looked at these powers that man saw as great. And what did he call them? Mere embers, stubs of firewood that might be smoldering, but they are not greater than my protection over you. So perception is very important We talked in detail last week about be careful how we perceive our situation and our enemy. For the king was so worried, it transferred into the hearts of the people. And in our lives, God has called us to be settlers of raging storms, people that usher calm and not confusion. And the countenance of our heart, the one that we trust in, is so vital because it affects more than just us. Be careful. Keep calm. Do not be afraid. This morning, may the Spirit of God, who knows everything we're walking through, that knows where our minds go, the things that produce worry and anxiety in us, may we respond to the command that God gives us to keep calm. Because what's the alternative? What's the alternative? When our calm is lost, we lose control of our emotions and our life. You been there? We are emotional people. And there's nothing wrong with that. God made us to be emotional people. But also God created us to be emotionally balanced. But when we lose our calm, our emotions take over and they can even wreck and destroy our life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Worship involves our emotions. The thought of vesting my heart, my soul, my strength, and my mind void of any emotional energy and strength would be foolish. God made us people that are in touch and aware and are led through his wisdom teamed with our emotions. Some manifest emotions more outwardly, but I would say all are emotional deep within. Some people's emotions that we think are still and calm, meaning in this sense, they seem like never emotional in any way, shape, or form, but if you could see inside their soul, you would see something different. Emotions are part of how God leads our lives with his wisdom and allows the beauty of what he designed us to be expressed. Worship with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Calm is emotional balance. We all have different issues that we are challenged with. And for some, the emotions are harder to keep in a healthy, balanced way. But know this, that regardless of our struggle, God is there to bring calm to all different conditions. And in that beauty of his calm comes that balance that is needed to function and to move forward in health and in wisdom. When our calm is lost, we lose control of our emotions and our lives. But Psalm 94:18 tells us this. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. Now, all of us here probably have stories of when your foot slipped. And you thought everything was fine. And next thing you know, your feet are up in the air and you are down on the ground. I remember one time I learned the hard way. I was in a parking lot at a grocery store after Barbara and I were newly married. And we were in Florida. I was going to, we were down at school in Florida. And all of a sudden, thunderstorm came. We're in the parking lot of this grocery store. And I needed to take the cart back. So I ran real fast, brought that cart back. And I'll never forget, I kept running. And next thing I know, my feet went up in the air and I went hard down on that asphalt. And I learned, first of all, when that rain first comes, don't run in the parking lot because there's oil all over that place. And it is a terrible feeling to feel that instability of the slip. But what God is telling us through his word, when you feel like you're about to lose control, don't fear. His steadfast love will hold us up. Now the question is this, do we want to be held up? Or do we want our emotions to be that which leads us away from the peace and calm that God wants to be in us? Because life cannot move forward in the wisdom that God has designed if we do not cherish the calm. We see in verse 19, when the cares of my heart are many, your constellations cheer my soul. How many of y'all have had weeks or months or years of cares that weigh your heart down? How many of us have been through things that we never dreamed we would in our hearts are weighed down? But here we see this. The cares, the worries, the anxieties. Your comfort will cheer my soul. Your calm will come to my soul. You have promised that no matter what comes against my heart, you will bring cheer to my soul. That is not a false hope that God has given. And then we see this. When our calm is lost, the breath of life is even hindered. A common issue that occurs with anxiety and worry that moves from the mind to the body is a change of what? Heart rate. A change of even how we breathe. When we begin to get filled with a lack of calm, even the breath of life becomes hindered. And then we see this, through the lack of calm, many different physical ailments can come against us. The choice, again, is will I trust in the calm that God will supply? Chapter 11 of Matthew, verse 28. Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden, burden, challenge, stress, filled with anxiety, filled with worry. Anybody that's lived long enough on this earth has dealt with those challenges. But the issue, the thing that is different is where do I go with them? Oh, heavy laden, where do you go with the burdens of your soul? And then here we see this command. Come to me. But I'd rather go to my worries. I would rather fixate on the problem rather than going to the source for those problems. Come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden, and the promise from God is this, I will give you rest. I will give you calm. If I lose that calm, It should be a sign to me that I'm not moving forward to God. If I am getting into a habit of losing the calm, if my emotions lead me more than the Holy Spirit leads me through the power of balancing my emotions, then I am not following the precious offer that Christ has given. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we see this in verse 29. Another action. God says there is an action required in walking in the fullness that he has provided. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. What does it mean to take the yoke of God upon ourselves? It is to yield to his voice and to yield to his authority. Some people would look at that image of a yoke being around an ox as something negative, but what God was telling us is that his authority in our lives is for our highest good and our highest benefit. But if I am not yoked to God, I am yoked to something else. And the yoke in which we can choose is either the will of our heart, the will of self, or the will of others. I choose to be yoked to the authority of God. And that is the offer that he gives us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Somebody's teaching us how to live with our emotions and our mindset. Someone's telling us how we should allow that life journey to be lived out. And God has made it clear to us that he will teach us if we are yoked to him. And then I want to just say this. How can we see that in a real practical way? The yoke of God being upon us. And I'll tell you what the yoke of God is. The yoke of God is the Holy Spirit living within you, in authority, in leading, in trust, in growing in that relationship with him. For when the Spirit of God is alive in us, we perceive life with the eyes and the vision of God. When he is void from us, we lean back on the yoke of ourself. And here's the thing that's so important to remember. The yoke of the Holy Spirit is not religion. The yoke of the Holy Spirit is not an ideology. The yoke of the Holy Spirit is not belief. The work of the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God living in us, growing us, and filling us with his fruit. Peace. Remember that? Patience. Remember that? And how about this one? Self-control. Amen. The yoke of God. Amen. The yoke of God. Learn from me. Now let's move to this other aspect. When our calm is lost, our thoughts become scattered and confused. You been there? Just kind of check out. Productive life stops. Oh, I go through the motions, but the fruit of life is just paused, removed. In fact, it's very difficult, the anxious mind, It's very difficult to even focus on anything. And God offers a calm to settle. Worry confuses us. And if we see the signs where worry and the lack of calm and anxiety is overwhelming us, we have an advocate. God will come and settle the waters and allow us to perceive in a spirit of calm. Now, how does it work? It may be in pieces. It may be in small steps, but it's available if we desire. The issue again is, where do I turn to anchor? Where do I turn to see the storm calm? Because it is not the external, it is the internal where the peace can come. For some, life is going to be filled with storms that seem to never end. That's just the way it is in this life. For some, the lot of Job may be theirs. For others, storms are rare to find. But for all, the peace and the calming of the soul is provided by God. And God may say for you in this season of your life, the storm has come for my glory. For folks will perceive your countenance and see how you are handling that which has rose against you, and they will give me honor because the calm and the peace of God prevails against all that has come against you. Reminds us of Job, doesn't it? God's glory can be seen in the storm through the heart that depends on him and allows the settling of calm to be within. God uses so many things to bring glory to his heart and for the benefit of others to trust him. One of the things that occurs when our calm is lost, our thoughts become scattered and confused. In the storm, the call for the calm of Christ should be heard. Lord Jesus, I don't understand this, but I know your peace is able to come. And watch him come. Watch that peace come. God's word, again, let me just go to this real quick. 119, Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your, say that word with me, law, the word of God. Nothing can make them stumble. We said if you lose your calm, when calm is lost, our thoughts become scattered and confused. But here we see this: great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. So when our peace is challenged, when the storms rage in, we must perceive it not with our understanding, but we must look for God's answer through his word to how to move forward in it. And God, what God is saying, if you trust my word more than you trust your word, if you trust my word to be lived out in actions in your steps, you're going to be safe. You will not stumble. Will you feel the weight of the wind? Will you be challenged? Yes. But God has a path for us to move forward. God has a course for calm to come, and the source of that course is the word of God. God's word will always be a lighthouse for those that are in the storm. And then this, When our calm is lost, life becomes hindered and unproductive. You know, God didn't put us here just to watch the clock tick. God did not put us here to live in the state, I don't matter. My life doesn't matter. I'm not good for anyone. I'm not even good for myself. God did not put us here for that. But when calm is lost, we begin to think in unproductive ways. We begin to perceive ourselves as just a waste and just trouble. But calm comes and settles our ability to think of who we truly are in Christ and where our lives can be of the fruit of why God made us. I don't want to live the rest of my life hindered and unproductive. And for some, where the yoke has been self and the yoke has been the words of man, or the numbing of man through sources that come in many manners, the mind is no longer the mind of Christ. And for some, their lives are ended by their own hand. But if you feel that rage within or that unsettling within, don't let that voice be the one that defines who you are. Let the Word of God, the voice of God, the Holy Spirit show you that you were created to be productive. You were created to be of benefit not only to yourself, but also to others. Calm, not anxiety. Peace, not unsettled. Patience, through the power of God's Holy Spirit in you. Self-control that is not of your ability, but of the ability of the Holy Spirit within you. We also see this, when calm is lost, our ability to communicate with others and develop healthy relationships are challenged. Who likes it when the footsteps of the unsettled heart enter into the environment? I know that stride. I know who that is. And as they enter into the environment, that which was peaceful now is challenged. Some live their life in pride that way. Some live their life in manner of coming against your calm and against your peace. But they are not greater than the peace of God that dwells within you. And may we not live in such an order that we are people that bring the storms to heart rather than the peace and calm. Years ago, I was at someone's house when I was a kid. I was like a teenager, okay? And I was there being tutored. And I remember sitting at the table about maybe 6-7 feet away from the mom and dad while they were watching TV, and I was being tutored. And I appreciated being tutored because I needed a lot of help. But the next thing I knew was these loud voices, "No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is." And I'm like, "What's going on? I'm not trying to concentrate. Please." And all of a sudden, argument would break out about what was on TV. And I'm talking about where I felt like somebody was going to get hurt. And then all of a sudden, this thought hit me. If that's happening when I'm there, what's happening when I'm not there? And it looked like this. Calm was not the order of that home. The argument became that which brought the thrill and the energy was spent for. If you have been blessed to grow up in a home that was calm, you better shout and thank God right now. Okay? We're not hearing a whole lot of shouting, okay? My mom and dad, thank God, they were calm. I mean, some stuff happened. Things went down. But what won the day was the calming power of God. Now don't get discouraged. If you grew up in a home that did not honor calm, you got one of the greatest opportunities known to man. And that is, you can change the heritage of your home. You can break the cycle of that which you were presented with as normal. You now can bring it into the normal of God rather than the normal of man. How many of y'all like challenges? Some people love challenges. Others are like, no, it just brings stress. Do not forward the countenance of home life that is not of the heart of God. May we all that are gathered here today be people that usher calm into conflict, that usher the peace of God rather than the confusion of the flesh. And that power is available to us, not because of our greatness, but because of the greatness of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Again, when our calm is lost, our ability to communicate with others and develop healthy relationships are challenged. And then look at this verse. Psalm 37:8. Refrain from, say it with me, anger, and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. Is there another way of saying when someone's lost their calm, they have now entered into this fretting mode? This mode where it's hard to think clearly, hard to make actions that represent love in the heart of God. They have forgotten to even ponder what the words are that are coming forth from their mouth. And they are intensifying the heat rather than calming the situation. Here, refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. The promise is it only leads to evil. And then the next verse here, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up what? Conflict. That's just how I am. That's how I was born. I've even heard people say, that's my genes, man. That's what I am. I'm hot-tempered. Really? Yeah. Learn behavior. And some people even want to say it's because, this is my culture. Get real. There's always an excuse to forward that which is negative. God takes us before his throne, not even with our family, not even with the culture that we grew up in. We stand before God alone, and we'll be held accountable for how we live, not for others around us. So this attitude, that's just the way it is. No, not in God's vision. But look, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. But listen closely. But the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Calm, patient. They kind of go hand in hand, don't they? So conflict, reap conflict. So patience, reap calm. And here's the beauty of it. So, Pastor, you don't know what I deal with. You don't know what's up against me. God does. And even in the most hot-tempered personality that you deal with, maybe you didn't ask to deal with, but there it is. Your peace, your calm, may not translate to their heart, but it will rise boldly within your heart. And you will walk out of that situation leaning not on that person to bring calm, but leaning on God to settle the soul within. God did not create us to live without calm. And then we see this. When calm is lost, joy for life is obscured. It's kind of hard to enjoy things when you're all tense, right? Don't laugh at me when I say this, okay? I always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. Always wanted to see it. And my son ended up, both my boys lived in Phoenix for a while, and Ben's still there in Phoenix with his wife, Jay Lee. And it's 3.5 hours away from Phoenix, so we saw the Grand Canyon. But it was beautiful. But when I think about that trip, you know what comes to me? Anxiety. That's a long ways down there. And I raised two sons that are not fearful, that are not scared of heights. But their daddy is like, So here's my trip to the Grand Canyon with 20-some-year-olds, okay? Hey, whoa, get back. Yeah, come, whoa. I'm just getting a picture, Dad. No. Here is this beautiful trip to the Grand Canyon. I'm like, no. I got so mad I got in the car. I said, I can't watch it anymore. I remember my dad, and I've shared this story before. We inherit stuff, right? But we can't blame the future on the past. My dad was the same way. Watch it. And we were at my uncle's farm out in Marion, South Carolina, in that area. And we're just kids. My cousins are there. They grew up around the farm. And here we're playing in the hay, and we're just having a good time. Here's my father. Hey, get out of there. And I'm like, there might be a snake. Get out of there. And here I am, a snake in the hay. And then my uncles, they kind of grinned. And they said, Bob, don't worry. If they get bit by a snake, we'll take them to the hospital. Daddy messed with my trip to the farm. And now every time I get around, hey, I look for snakes, right? When our calm is lost, joy for life is obscured. And then also this. When our calm is lost, our faith in God is challenged. We are here upon this earth to not be hindered in our faith, but to grow greatly in our faith. And when we settle in for accepting worry and anxiety, the lack of calm, as that which we walk with, it will hinder our faith and trust in God. We see this, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that, can we say those two words together? In me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. And like he will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I have. So again, We want to rest on ourselves. What God wants us to rest in is His Son alive in us. And He is greater than any storm that will come against us. And then in closing today, we visit the words of Isaiah again. And we see this. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. A lot of people right now in our country, we're worried. There's a lot of division in our country. But God wants us to know this. It doesn't matter who the kings are, because kings are not greater than God. It does not matter. And if our hope is placed in the kings, our hope is misplaced. So know this, regardless of what has come, regardless of what will come, the authority of God is the one we answer to, and the calm of God is the fruit of trusting in Him. He is the yoke that we trust in, His authority. You know, what voices has God used in your life to warn you to be calm? Not everybody has the positive voice spoken to them consistently. And sometimes we choose the voices that we entertain. And when I say this, we gravitate to voices that our flesh sometimes enjoys. And we got to be careful about that. What voices are telling us to be calm? It will always be the voice of God that will say, fear not, be careful, do not lose heart, do not be afraid. That is the voice of God. Fear manifests ugly, ugly actions. The lack of calm can destroy someone's life. In the lives of others. May the voice of God be the voice that we listen to. Establish His word as the lead, as the chosen course of obedience. If your word says it, God, give me strength to honor it. When voices speak contrary to your word, may I not be fooled, may I not be deceived, and may your voice always be elevated above all other voices. Do not let my hope and my peace be found in what words are proclaimed to me or said to me. Let my hope and peace be founded in your word. Because there's a lot of negative words that are going to come our way. They do not create who we are. God has created who we are. And then, in God's mercy, may we see voices of wisdom enter into our lives. Divine appointments come. Isaiah. God sent Isaiah to a king that probably, when he heard of him coming, was probably so scattered, he didn't think much about it. But now the voice came, and the response was going to be, Asa, what are you going to do now? Who are you going to listen to? God uses the power of calm to help us follow the call of wisdom. Last week we said this. Go back to that other slide, please. We said this. This boat represents your life. This water represents the journey of your life. And the choice of the calmness is not the environment around it. It's not the conditions around it. This calm water represents your soul. And no matter what comes, God can calm your soul in that journey called life, no matter what comes. For this next slide here, the wisdom of calm is available to all of us who trust in Christ. And how beautiful it would be to just see the calmness of our soul day in and day out. Will it be challenged? Yes, it will be challenged. But we do not have to fear this. When the storm rages, when the lightning comes, when others scatter, when the waves seem to be that which are only going to grow, we do not have to lose the calm that Christ has vested his life so that we can have. If we can stand this morning, thank you, Lord Jesus. God, we know that that heart will be challenged. We know that as the storm rages, it is human nature to look at the environment, to look at the clouds, the lightning, the waves. But Lord Jesus, we know that you are greater to keep us calm and at peace and in self-control through the peace of God that lives and dwells within our heart. Father, we pray for the one under challenge today. We lift up in the name of Jesus that increased measure, Lord, of peace, that increased measure, Lord, of patience, and that increased measure of self-control through the power of your Holy Spirit to strengthen as only you can. And in the name of Jesus, God sees the condition of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And when he sees it unsettled, his heart is one of compassion. His heart is one that comes to comfort and to settle. Invite him to come and to settle that storm within your soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. These altars are open as we worship God in Jesus' name.